Thank you. The topic of my presentation is how medical care expenditures progress for individuals who are actually start off with prediabetes and then progress to diabetes. And I would like to thank my co-authors, Stavros and Greg Wozniak at the American Medical Association for working on this project with me. Just to provide a little bit of background of what prompted this research, about 86 million adults in the United States have prediabetes, which is basically a condition where they have elevated blood sugar levels. And within 5 years, it's shown that these individuals can actually progress to developing type 2 diabetes, between 15 to 30%. Overall, diabetes is a very costly disease. It has shown to cost about $245 billion. And most of this is attributed to direct medical costs, which is the portion of the research that I have been looking at. And additionally, there's about $69 billion from reduced productivity, absenteeism, lost wages that are captured for diabetics. This is shown to increase about 41% since 2007, and is projected to increase a lot further if we don't do something about it. Furthermore, the cost of prediabetes has also gone up over the last 5 years, and or more to roughly $44 billion. So we definitely thought that we needed to look into this. Individuals with prediabetes can actually prevent or delay the onset of diabetes by participating in a lifestyle intervention program, such as the Diabetes Prevention Program. And these programs are actually focused on managing healthy weight, healthy diet, weight loss, and encouraging physical activity. Research has shown that by lowering the prevalence of converting to diabetes, we could actually mitigate the economic burdens that are associated with the disease. And therefore, the American Medical Association has been focusing their efforts towards encouraging physicians to screen and refer individuals with prediabetes to these evidence-based diabetes prevention programs. In this study, we specifically follow a 3-year progression of medical care expenditures for individuals that actually have what we would define as prediabetes based on their blood levels. And expenditures, we compare the expenditures for these individuals over time for those who actually are later diagnosed with diabetes compared to those who do not progress and are remain within the prediabetes range or lower. We want to estimate the potential savings that are associated with the diabetes prevention program. So we've tried to model this into a net savings and return on investment. And for ease of interpretation, I'll model it out for, let's say, 1,000 individuals in this presentation, just to see how we interpret and apply the results. We were actually very fortunate to have individual level data from the Truven Market Scan treatment pathways, which is the full data set is a 10 million sample of commercially insured individuals. We actually had lab values for a subsample of that data set for about 4.4 million individuals. And so we had the integrated claims, lab test results, insurance enrollment information for these. For the sample, and we looked at individuals who were continuously enrolled between the ages of 18 to 64 who had a valid A1C screen and that were not diagnosed for diabetes or other conditions that are associated with diabetes for at least 6 months prior to the initial screening. So gestational diabetes, individuals taking metformin, all of these were not included in our sample. So this gave us about 8,000 individuals, which we defined as having prediabetes, and based on their A1C test result between 5.7 and 6.4%. And we tracked this fixed cohort over a time span of 3 years. So there's no one coming in, no one going out. These are the individuals we're tracking. And we tracked them for about 3 years. So from 2009 as being the base year to to 2012 being the final year of analysis. Just to give you a description of kind, I don't know if it's large enough to see back there, but to what our sample looked like, we did have a majority of the sample between the under the age of 55 years old, mainly because this is a commercial sample. The age gender distribution was just about half and half. We did notice that we had a heavy concentration of individuals from the South and the West, and I believe that's just based on the way the data is collected, and so particularly with the lab data, they came from those regions. And not surprisingly, we did also want to look to see what some of the other conditions that these individuals had, and we did find a very high correlation between, you know, either having diabetes or prediabetes and hypertension. So we just wanted to see what else was going on with these patients. So to go into some of the results, on average, total medical care expenditures over time were higher for those who actually were later diagnosed with diabetes in subsequent years relative to those that did not progress. On average, annual expenditures were higher, roughly around 30%. So in the first year we saw there was a 33% differential in spending, second year of diagnosis 38 and 27% in the third year. So we roughly found that individuals with who actually progressed to diabetes spend about $2,800 more per year compared to their counterparts. And pictures always help. So this is a graphic example of what's actually happening to these individuals over time. So in 2009, the base year, their spending was consistent, but then as they progress, as individuals start progressing to diabetes, we do find that that gap widens. Even though those who are, do not progress to diabetes diagnosis, their expenditures are relatively more stable. They are going up over time, just given, you know, age and other environmental factors, but the gap is actually significant. There's a significant difference between the two populations. Among the categories of medical care, what we wanted to do is we wanted to see where is that spending occurring? Is it what are the different at a more like narrow level? So we did find that those who actually did progress to diabetes, a lot of their access and spending was in primary care for primary care physician services, which is not surprising at all. They were spending roughly 20% more for prescription drugs, 15% more for lab tests, and about 9% more for specialty care. I did want to point out that it's important to keep in mind that these are individuals who are newly diagnosed with diabetes. So it could be that, like, down the line, diabetics will have a lot more spending in perhaps even like inpatient care or other categories of medical sectors of medical care, but these are for the really newly diagnosed. So it does vary from other research and other literature out there that, you know, tells us what spending is for individuals who've had diabetes for a long periods of time. Again, pictures always help, so I just wanted to put up there what the cumulative totals for the full 3 years on spending in these different categories was for individuals who have diabetes versus those in the sample that did not. And you can see a lot of spending was in the pharmaceutical area, and there were significant differences between these the two groups. To look at this from like a net savings or like a return on an investment perspective, we found that for employers, employers actually like to, we've been trying to encourage them to cover the diabetes prevention program as a covered benefit. So if an employer were to have 1,000 employees with similar risk factors to those that are examined here, the implementation of the diabetes prevention program would cost about $450 per employee. It's between the range of $400 and $500 for that program. And this would actually help prevent 28 individuals from progressing to diabetes if they were to participate in that program. And for this, the net savings for a sample over 3 years would be approximately $150,000 in direct medical spending. These, if you were to translate them to per month dollar amount, would roughly be like $225 monthly per member. And if we were to account for long-term trends in productivity, savings from absenteeism and so forth, this value would be a lot higher. Again, I grab pictures help, but I don't know if you can see given the way it's projecting right now. So this is somewhat of a flowchart of the individuals who have for like 1,000 lives, and based on individuals tested here, we found that half our sample did not have diabetes. So that's we're at the 500 individuals. The treatment data set did find prevalence of prediabetes very consistent with national estimates, where 37 to 38% of the sample had prediabetes. If we were to track those based on the results of the diabetes prevention program study, if those who participated in the diabetes, in the lifestyle intervention, among those, about 28 individuals would progress to diabetes within 3 years, and those that were not participants, only we got 56 individuals who were who progressed to diabetes. So participation in this program could help save about for 28 individuals from progressing to diabetes. I did want to point out that the American Medical Association is working on a tool that will help put these pieces together, where employers could go in and put in values of, like, you know, the number of lives they cover, how many would have prediabetes, how many individuals could they help, and what the net savings and return on investment for this intervention would be. So that was just a sneak peek of the early versions of it. Overall, individuals with prediabetes who are later diagnosed, this research did find that they do spend about one-third more in medical expenditures compared to those who don't. And we did find that these differences in expenditures are largest mainly in primary care and prescription drugs. We do hope that more individuals will be encouraged to participate in lifestyle interventions, such as the diabetes prevention program, to help, you know, delay the onset of diabetes. And we do also hope to see net savings and positive return on investments for investing in the DPP that may accumulate over time, and they would be actually even larger if we were to account for productivity losses as well. So a lot of future research ahead, a lot of things being put together, but this is where it started. Thank you.